You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it is another edition of the IOPS podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. We were this close, Jack. Expected. And I said to you multiple times throughout the game, they're just going to find a way to make it painful for us. Like, they're not winning. They never win this. And, like, they were like, oh, maybe we will win it. Ha ha, not winning it. Look, they won the series. I think overall you're happy with the results of the weekend. We'll get to it. Obviously, Harper homering today. Oppo, like let's go. Like, a reason for optimism, even though, you know, still, like, seems like a struggle for this team to score runs. But, look, that was, like, that for Diamondbacks fans, that was the game of the year. It could have been for us, and it would have been better because we're down 7-1, actually came back, like, tied it, the whole thing. Like, man, Jack, man, what was Alvarado doing back out for the second inning? He clearly didn't have it. Oh, let's bring him. I know we don't have dudes. I get it. Like, trust me, I'm not blind. But, really, what are we doing there? He didn't have it the first time you brought him out. Like, oh, let's bring him out again. Come on.
You had to. I mean, what are you talking about? Give him a shot.
He didn't have it. It was so clear. Get him out quicker. Get the hook quicker, whatever.
Let me tell you something. I don't care about today.
I know you don't. They fought.
Do you see the smile?
I do like that they fought. But, like, that that's a game we could have remembered. Like, and instead it's a game, you know.
What are you, Elliot over there? Oh, it's so, it could have been a special win.
We started this comeback win Friday night with a beautiful game that we'll all remember when that, you know, kid is down there and Jose closes it out for him. Like, Emily was sitting there, like, I've never wanted the Phillies to win a game more with this kid sitting there doing the thing. And, like, after the whole story, it's like, Jose, you better freaking win this one. Like, seriously, like, it's like a Luke Williams thing. It's, like, bigger than sports. Like, come on, Jack. So, like, we had that to start the series. We could have this to end this. It was this close, Jack. We were there.
Yeah, and shout out to Coffee, by the way. I mean, an unbelievable story.
Just all over. It was, like, immediately. Like, it was, like, you could just, at this point, if Alex Coffey doesn't have the human interest story about something cool like that, like, the day after it happens, I'm disappointed now at this point.
I guess my biggest question is, where is he today? We also needed that
one.
You're
right.
You know,
it's a weekend.
It's a, you know, school's tomorrow. I get it. But we have a series to win against the Diamondbacks. So, like, all right. I just, listen. I'm going to be completely honest. I can't be too upset when they take two or three from the Diamondbacks. I wasn't expecting to take two or three from the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are a good team, and they're a very well-constructed team. I don't care. They're only 17-16 heading into the year. I don't care. Like, they just took two or three from the Mets, and obviously we have all the freaking pain of a year and a half ago. It was annoying how much they ripped Fott. It was annoying watching Ryan Thompson again. It was annoying watching Kevin Ginkle again. It was annoying existing in the same world as Corbin Carroll. And guess what? They took two of three. And, like, they've won three straight series. They were never going to give this a win for us today.
You've been waiting to just spin hard here. I love this.
Well, it's not spin. No.
Look, they're 19-15. They're not bad. They're not bad.
What do you want me to come on and like act like the season? They suck when they.
No, and they don't. They don't. And that was a good series. I agree with
you. Of course, it was a good series.
Like, we had a chance. I'm just disappointed because we had a chance to come on here and be like,
you're looking for hate.
Game of the year, series of the year, like let's go, like you know.
You're looking for clicks. I'm looking for straight
no,
up.
No. I'm looking glass half empty. You're looking glass half full, and that's fair. That's fair.
What do you want me to do? Like, dude, they took 2 or 3 from the Diamondbacks. And you're gonna mock this, and everyone who hates the Phillies is gonna mock this, but they fought today. They could have easily rolled over and died. They have a game. They have an off day tomorrow, so it doesn't totally matter. I get it. If a Ranger a month from now, that's not even a game. They run away with that one today. We've seen this team for as much as you and I have ripped them for laying down and completely folding. They didn't do it today. They fought back and. Some bad baseball mixed in, mm-hmm. per usual. It's never going to be crisp. It's never going to be clean. Not allowed. Going to third base.
When you go into the game with Kyle Schwarber starting in left field, you're like, all right, we got a potential bad baseball coming out.
Made a good throw. Skipped up on JT.
He did. They should have gotten him there. Now, why he didn't even try a throw on the second one was interesting, but you know.
Well, Trey tried to throw a ball and then it went. Seven is bounced 16 mm-mm, times to the first mm-mm, baseman. So,
mm-mm. And how many again. Like pass balls and missed and wild pitches?
We don't do crisp baseball here. We don't do crisp baseball.
All right. Let's
all right. Reel it in.
Yeah. Well, Emily wants to eat dinner, and we went later, you know, not the fault of it, but and Zoe is cooked after her cousin me here all weekend. So, you know, yes.
You get it.
You have two kids. All right. Real quick.
We're 5 minutes into this podcast.
Yeah. We've only got 5 minutes left. No, I'm kidding. let's get into it. Let's start with today and then we'll get back to the rest of the series. But I think like the thing that was coming in the series outside the Diamondbacks thing, and I'm with you. I just hate them. I think that's part of why I was so like annoyed they couldn't just pull this thing off today. Can I ask you something before we get fully into it?
Hold on.
No, you know what? Even before you do that, we're jerks.
This is you being a pro.
Me.
Yeah.
You texted me about it. We're about, hey, we got some stuff coming up. Wednesday, May 7th. That is 2.5-3 days from now. This upcoming Wednesday, Casey's in Drexel Hill. We got an event. We're going to go watch the game there. Rays, Phillies. We're going to be there for it in Casey's and Drexel coming out. Miller Lights, trivia, Phillies tickets. You can win Phillies tickets based on the trivia. It's going to be awesome. You can hear Jack tell you why you should buy his book in person at ringthebellbook.com. Wednesday, Casey's coming out. Then,
yes,
bigger deal. Not necessarily bigger deal, but like big deal, you know, like fun thing we're doing. Come to the Reading Phils game with us. We're going on May 31st to watch Aiden, to hang out, drink some Miller Lights. It's like a family night. I'm going to bring the family. Jack's going to bring the family. We're going to be hanging. Come hang out. We're going to have a link on our Twitters. Jack's is up. I'll put it up tomorrow morning and all that.
Sure.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so looking forward to that, obviously. And I think that'll be Sonny's first baseball game. So that'll be a big deal.
So you could say 20 years from now when Sutton's, you know, making his major league debut as a young, number one pick who cruised through the minors, people who are at that game can be like, I was at that kid's first base.
Well, so what's going to be so funny to me is eventually, right, you know, given this podcast and the trajectory it's on, now you're going to be 61 when he is draft eligible. And I'm really just wondering if
I don't like where this conversation went. And I don't know how it went, where it went, but God, you got
my problem.
I tried to do a thing and then you had to turn into something else. But go ahead.
I'm just thinking about how, like, am I going to be able to put Sutton on my Fritz guys for the draft?
Oh, well, you know, especially where will the Fritz list be after this, you know, Gavin Williams debacle? Like, we've, you know, going to step back and like really get back to the fundamentals, you know?
Well, what about Max Meyer allowing like five runs and
it's
four?
Like, ever since that 14 strikeout game, he's had two horrible starts. Trust me, I wasn't going to bring it up. I wasn't going to hit you while you're down with the Gavin Williams, but yeah. Well,
continue to pile on. Just pile on. He did generate the fourth most whiffs in baseball that day, so we take that as a win. Mm. No, but like, first off, Fritz list is different than my draft guys list, so I just need to make sure that Sutty's in a good spot. Walker as well.
Oh yeah, clearly. Yeah, different lists, obviously. Yeah. But at least I do think the credibility of both lists are always in tandem because it's about evaluating baseball players at the end of the day, you know.
Right. Well, if you want to sleep tight at night, just know that you'll still be in your 50s when Walker's draft eligible.
Great.
So
good.
How's that make you feel? But before we get into everything else, and again, Aiden Miller's road to the show, Reading on May 31st, and Casey's at Drexel Hill. You are one that wears your emotions on your sleeve.
Yes, like a psychopath sometimes. Yes, go ahead.
Hasn't exactly gotten over many of things. Are the what's the comparison between like the 0-2 Bucks and the 23 D-backs? Because I feel like they're very similar from the standpoint of that Bucks team. Now, I actually think the difference is that Bucks team turned out to be an all-time team.
Yeah, the difference is the Bucks actually won the Super Bowl. Like if the Diamondbacks had won the World Series, I think it would have added an extra layer to it. Or level to it that would have made it worse. And I think the Bucks going on to win the Super Bowl that year. And to your point, like kind of aging very, you know, gracefully in a good way.
They might
have
Hall of Famers on that defense.
Yeah, I mean, like the defense is insane. It has like four of them or whatever, five, like Rondé, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, like just full of them.
John Lynch.
John Lynch, yeah. I'm with you. They are still a little more historically impactful in a bad way for us, but the Diamondbacks still have a chance to play us in the playoff again, which can change narratives. But also I think like in a way it's more frustrating because to your point, like this Diamondbacks team wasn't that good. Like, you know, like
84
they,
wins.
Like I think they're a better wins. Team now. I think the team they just beat is like overall probably a better team than the 84 wins, a negative run differential, one of only two teams ever to make the World Series with a negative run differential. Like, you know, and they lost it obviously to a not even great Rangers team. Like, so I think in a lot of ways it's more frustrating because they are not the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Like at least the 11 Cardinals won the World Series.
Yeah. And had like some GOAT players on there, like, you know, like had some like all timers on there and had an all time run from a guy too, where you're like, Chris Carpenter had his Madison Bumgarner, this, that, whatever. Like that dude had a run, you know.
It's probably like losing to the Atlanta Hawks at home. Sure. If I had to guess,
I think that's it. Good job.
That's probably it.
Good job.
We
except
got there.
Around earlier in the playoffs because the Sixers doesn't matter. Never make the yeah. All right. Can we talk about the baseball now?
Yeah.
No. Serious though, coming out Casey Drexel Wednesday and then May 31st for Reading Phils in Reading, obviously. Okay. Today, I think the biggest thing this weekend outside the Diamondbacks thing just in general was the return of Ranger. It wasn't a great return. On Star Wars Day. I know you're a huge Star Wars Day guy.
Only seen the new ones. With you.
Yes. So like Return of the Jedi, obviously it was Return of the Ranger today.
Phantom Menace, my
much
goat.
Less successful. Yeah. Oh God. I love it. You're just like needling. Ranger, your thoughts.
Unbelievable early. Looked like Ranger. And then I think that he got tired. Obviously went to the stretch that kind of derailed things. And I think his stuff just flattened out. But as one of our good friends that totally needed to text us in the middle of the game asked, if he's cooked or not.
Who that
No, I don't think he's cooked. I think it's just a matter of getting his feet underneath him. And sure, we can bring up his minor league numbers and what he did down there. It's obviously different in the big leagues, more stressful innings, more stressful pitches. And I think he simply just got tired. I think for the majority of it, The fastball velocity was good.
Love a good got tired as an excuse for, and I get it. I'm with you. I'm
Spencer
not like
Howard
you.
Used it for.
Yeah,
for
it's just such
year.
A like, hey, listen, guys, he was tired. Yeah,
he got a little tuckered out. Happens to the best of us.
The Anthony Richardson, we should call it that. You know, hey, sorry, guys. Listen, I'm just a little tired. I got to pop out here.
You go in there. Yeah. So if this is still happening two stars from now, I'll be concerned. Tonight, not really. I thought it was just his first start, and I think he'll end up being okay. And I actually thought like early looked much better than I thought he was going to look. So we know he's someone that relies on command. He relies on hitting spots. I think he's going to be okay. I do wonder if Taiwan was giving little fist pumps in the bullpen, but that is besides the point.
Yeah. And look, hey, shout out to Taiwan, man. I mean,
he's ready to go, man. He was like, right there. He was right
that,
there.
That play to start the game. Like that was like, you always hear people say like, he's like way more athletic than you would think. And like, he really is way more athletic.
Like
than
a cat. Think. He's like a
that
cat.
That was a
mound.
Really, really, really good play. All right.
He's also so, ready to go. He was going to come in probably next
dude. Shout out to Taiwan. I don't think we can talk about the bad first 2 years and him like probably costing them last year with just morale and belief in the team and every time.
Nice way to turn this positive.
But like he's done a nice job this year. I don't think he can rip it all this for this year. Let's stick with pitching and then we'll get some other stuff in the series. But you know I do think that. I'm just annoyed they lost, but I'm with you that the fact they actually came back from 7-1 and it ended up losing extra innings and fought back is like, is a shocking good.
Let me ask you this. Can I just ask you this?
Sure.
Do you not feel more positive about the team than you did a week and a half ago?
On Friday? Yes, I do. Absolutely 100% do. And it's funny because, you know, we talked a lot. You talked a lot too about this whole like, I don't want it to be about, just getting to the playoffs and whatever happens, but it's also hard to go through the season after the last years without it being about that.
And borderline impossible.
Like, yeah. And I feel like I've been doing it in waves where like there are like times where I'll kind of not think about it as much. I'll be able to be in the moment. And then there'll be times where I like can't help but focus on it. And I think what happened prior to like this weekend, especially was you're just watching the bullpen, which we'll get to, signs of life. But watching the bullpen and also just the general struggle that this team has to score on a nightly basis where everyone's like, oh, I want a small ball team. Well, guess what? You got it. You know what they don't do? Score a ton of runs, like home runs, score runs. And like watching them not hit home runs and like Trey just slap the ball around the field and then not stealing bases and be an albatross defensively and just the general boneheaded play we had been seeing and the defensive miscues and the defensive limitations. And, you know, it's like the combination of all those things, it made it like hard for me to not think about how those things were going to like be Achilles heels for this team at the end. But, you know, then, you know, it's a long season and you see them play well. And I know Harper's going to hit better today. We'll talk about that. And as it goes on, but you also can, in those moments, look at the struggle and say, like, well, Trey Turner is going to be 32 in June. You know, Harper's turning 33 in October. Like, JT, who had a good day, is it he's 34, 35, whatever it is? It's like, oh, is it just the time where the back of the baseball card thing stops being true because they fall off? So it's like, you know, look, we're going through it, man. It's a tough time to be a fan.
It sounds like you're going through it. It really does. I mean, at the same time, Trey's been really good for about 2 weeks at the plate. I know it has not been extra bases.
But it's like, again, like the slugging percentage being lower than the on-base percentage, he's been good, but it's also like, like, what does that mean? Like, what does that impactfully mean on a baseball team to winning games, especially when, you know, we can't even get into the contract part of it, but yeah, anyway. Especially when you're a horrible defender at the most important position, but whatever.
Why don't you take your little slug and shove it? Why don't you stop worrying about the little things?
Where's the tag?
What matters more? What matters more? The average or the little slugging percentage? All I see is base hits. Base hits all around the field. So I don't know, man. Like,
yeah, and while Gerardo Perdomo has a slugging percentage well above 500, like 520 or whatever, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I can't believe how good he is. It's infuriating, actually, how good he is.
It's infuriating.
Like, yeah, he was basically in the NLCS. He was viewed as an automatic out because he was Like, he was a nine-hole hitter that did nothing, and now he's a pretty interesting piece of the Diamondbacks.
And then homered in game seven. Yeah, too.
Nice. Well, guess what, buddy? Phil's looked 2-3 today, so who cares about the NLCS? No? No? All right. All right. No. But, yeah. So, I hear you on most parts. I will say, outside of Carlos Hernandez, who, good thing, no one on this podcast believed him. The bullpen, I think, has at least found its footing. You know, I don't think it's been a total disaster. I think Carlos Hernandez, maybe they sent him down or cut him. Like, first off, if you put Carlos Hernandez on waivers, no one's claiming him. So I think he'll be okay. If you want to bring up like a Joel Kuhnel from up up at Lehigh Valley. Don't you worry. I'll start dropping Lehigh Valley names whenever you need it, buddy. Don't wait till the Auto Kemp discussion is about.
All they do is win, buddy. All they do is win.
They are a wagon. The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs are, I think, if you put them up against the Phillies, feels like it might be an under minus 200 favorite. I'm gonna be completely honest with you, especially if Nick's on the mound. If Nick's on the mound, you got a problem. All this stuff grades out at an MLB quality level right now, so we're very excited about the Nick Abel development. It's why it's hard to get too upset about this. I mean, Otto Kemp.
That's why, yes, dude. Otto Kemp. It's like we're at the point where it's like you got to bring him up. Like, what else can you do? Like, the guy is raking.
Hey, I was going to text you this earlier, but I simply forgot because I have two kids. You have one kid, but you complain more. So,
dude, my kid is a little me, and thus is probably like, in terms of like, it probably feels like having more kids than your two kids combined. So we've been calling her Junior lately for me.
Nice.
Because the pot and pout is named Junior, and we're like, that's perfect.
Nice. Well, listen, I took a little joke, and I was right there. So we get a lot of credit, I believe, on this podcast
for good things, yes.
For the Jesus Lizardo development, which I think we might have undersold, if I'm going to be
honest. Yeah, no doubt. Well, we didn't know what he could look like with a real pitching coach and real staff and a real whatever, you know?
And he changed his slider grip the other night, which is really interesting. I actually wish he didn't change his slider grip, but apparently he changed his slider grip because he wants to throw more strikes with it.
I liked where it was
a bullet slider. Regardless, who cares? Jesus Lizardo is awesome. So we get a lot of credit. I think we deserve more for how excited we are about Jesus Lizardo. But we do simply not get enough credit for being the first podcast that was all over the Otto Kemp breakout.
Oh, I mean, totally. And it was because of me. I was like, ooh, that Otto Kemp guy seems pretty good. And then you jumped on it. But, you know, you're welcome.
Well, so here's what I like about what I just said. Is it really shows that we're a we, not me podcast.
Yes, that's
and...
it. Well, I was obviously, you know, giving you a chance to get credit for it.
Yeah, I like that we're a we. We're a group. Hey.
You always have been, right? The guy you do the pod with. That's what I've been
Nice. If you have to wear Carlos Hernandez, you also have to wear
True. Yeah, the podcast title doesn't say Jack Thanks. That's true. Yeah, good point.
So Otto Kemp's dope. I have this in the take bag, but might as well get to it now.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what to do with Otto Kemp because first of all, I keep calling him Otto. It's Otto. Simply don't care. I don't know where to put him. Like, I know that everyone's going to comment. Like, can't you just feel it right now, James? Where it's just like people are firing up their old computers. Oh, like, yeah. Play him a third. Well, if you play him a third, then you're going to lose Bohm probably for the eternity. So while I hear you in a society in which that's, like, there is no feelings involved, I would agree with you and say, just play Otto Kemp at third base. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think it's realistic to say, bring him up and play him at third base because they want Bohm to be the third baseman, at least for this year. I still believe that Alec Bohm, as best, gives this team the best chance to win on a night-in, night-out basis. Is he doing it so far? Absolutely not. Do we put him in left field? Well, Weston Wilson hit a 3-run home run today, which was beautiful, and can physically stand in left field. Also, if you want to say, well, what about Kepler? Well, Kepler's on fire right now, so you can't take Kepler out of the lineup. You also, in center field, you have a Marsh Rojas platoon where it seems like Rojas is taking that job and running with it, which is good to see. Very happy for Johan. And I do think people freak out about every little thing Johan does, which is infuriating sometimes, but I think he's done more good than bad.
I agree.
So while I am dying to see Otto Kemp in the Phillies jersey, I simply do not know where he's going to play. I don't know where he's going to play. And I don't think it's as simple as just sit Bohm down, because I think that if you do that, then you might as well just trade him. So I don't know. I don't know. I got my hands up. I know you can't like see on the screen. I got my hands up. Whatever they decide, I hope that it ends well. But I don't know what they do with Otto Kemp.
Yeah, and look, sometimes that's a situation, and I think that they're certainly going to give these guys more leash before they decide to do something drastic, like say, hey, you know what, we have to win this year, and Alec Bohm is not as good a hitter as Otto Kemp, so we're going to play Otto Kemp. Like, that would be a drastic decision. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be some time, and I think the best case scenario is that they don't have to force him in. But if baseball's a season where these situations present themselves, like we want everyone to stay healthy. Players will get hurt at some point. Someone will at some point. You'll have to move someone here or do something else or whatever. Like, something will present an opportunity for Otto to come up and get an opportunity. And then if he hits, he hits. And then guess what? He's going to create his own space by hitting. Like, that's just the way the sport works. So I'm with you. I don't think there's anything right now, but I do think that he's ready. Like, the numbers, the at the level and what he's done, like, He deserves a shot to see what he can do at the major league level, I think.
Yes.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Now, all right, let's get to some other stuff in the series. I think, you know, from today, at least outside of, you know, the fight and all that, which was great, I think the thing that was the best thing we saw was the Harper homer. You know, he has been so mired in this slump and didn't have a great weekend, period, really. But, you know, opposite field, like, clear home run, like, actually, you know, first game, it was like, wow, Bryce, all right. where are you at on Bryce just overall? Because I do think heading into the weekend and the beginning of the weekend, we're starting to get to the point where, and not like people hate Bryce or anything, like, you know, he's Bryce, but I do think we're at the point where we're starting to hear more people say, like, hey, Bryce, we love you, but like, you got to do better.
Yeah. And I think that's totally fair. I just think that this weekend was a step forward from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. I really do. I thought he made a clear swing adjustment the other night. And, you know, I think that was designed to help get the bat through the zone quicker. And I thought today the bat was getting through the zone much, much, much quicker. And I think that home run was great. Seeing it the opposite way, seeing him carry it through was really big. Even the hit late, I thought was huge, or not late, but in the middle of the game was huge. And then, I mean, like the pitcher kind of just dotted up the outside corner to him a couple of times. It happens, whatever. But I think from the standpoint of not looking completely lost to the plate, not looking disinterested, mm-hmm. I thought it was a positive weekend from that standpoint, because I was incredibly frustrated. I mean, I led the show with it on Friday on the old WIP. Mm. I was just disappointed. Like, I was just disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought this weekend, and it wasn't disappointment. I know that everyone goes through ebbs and flows of a season. I'm not like dumb enough to not understand that, of course, there's ups and downs, and guys are going to go through like 3 for 28 stretches. It happens. But I thought it was an extra level of mopiness, a little bit too boomish for me.
And the approach falling off at bats, going up and hacking, and not really, like, you know, not really going about his business in a professional way, you know?
And I think that this weekend you saw more of the, again, if you get out, if you strike out, whatever, it just can't be 0-1 and then flailing at a pitch on the outside corner and like weakly popping up the left field. That was more my thing. And I think that I think overall it was a positive weekend for Bryce. So it was good to see the home run today. Obviously, they're going to go on the road here in a little bit. I'll tell you what, not a bad spot to hit down in
Steinberg. Oh, yeah, the minor league field down there. Yeah, I know.
Would be a good time to get hot. So I was frustrated, but I think overall it was a mostly positive weekend for Bryce.
Yeah, look, I think offensively, and, you know, I want to get your thoughts on one other thing, but in general, you know, it's a struggle, but like Kepler heating up has been nice. Obviously, yes. He's really good. Our guy, Max, you know, the German, as we call him in this house, because Emily is half German. So I was like, the German. Cap.
Nice.
I call him Cap, like, because I feel like if I were buddies with him, it'd be like, Cap, you know, like, I just think that's what I call him, and he'd be cool with it. So whatever, no big deal. I think, and if you got anything else offensively in the take back, we can get to it. But the Trey thing, because we just joked about it a bit and stuff. And look, you sent me a video, like the Rob Thompson being asked about, and kind of talking about how, you know, this kind of singles approach, this don't worry about lifting the ball, worry about spraying it all over the field and just getting good pitches and making good contact and getting on base, is a purposeful philosophical thing that Trey Turner is trying to do, according to Rob Thompson, that mm-hmm. they want him to do. And, you know, obviously forgetting the money, because like you can't pay that guy that kind of money for a singles hitter, whatever, who's a bad defender. But you know, where we are right now compared to what he's been, like, if that's like the best, you know, offensive player that you can pull out of him now, if that's the way he's not going to strike out and chase and stuff, like, fine, but like, then like, why isn't he running? Like, I need more from Trey Turner, even though he's starting to not look like a total disaster at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been pretty solid. I'm okay with the. My philosophy on it is this: is that I hate when he is expanding the strike zone. I hate when he is striking out. I hate when he is just weekly popping up pitches into the outfield. I think for this version of Trey Turner, getting on, like just be a competent.
We're so beaten down.
But like, I
know, I get it.
Which would you rather have?
I don't disagree. I just can't help, while not disagreeing, thinking about what I expected from him and what I'm now.
But hold on,
happy to get, you know.
All right. So, obviously, we want more than one home run at this point in the season. Mm. Now,
One more than Alec Bohm, of course, but go ahead.
Would you like the 6'5" third baseman to have more than zero home runs?
We got a shout out. Hold on. We had a listener. Do you have it handy? I think I took a picture of it. We had a listener who, when we talked about in the last pod about Alec Bohm potentially being like the largest man who homered the least for his size of anyone ever. Like, it turns out that he's like third ever, whatever it was. We had a listener. I'll find it while we're talking to
you. You will. So, like,
it was awesome. Great work by that guy.
I think from this, like, I will take this. And I know it's a lot of broken bat singles that somehow barely get over the second base or shortstop heads. Like, I'll take it. Whatever. I mean, I would much prefer that than the strikeouts, even if it comes with mixing in a home run every once in a while, because at least he's on first base. So I agree with you from the standpoint of running, but at the same time, it's like, do I really want him running a lot if Harper and Schwarber are going offensively? Probably not. So I don't know. It's a really tough position they're in. I think that Trey has been more good than bad. There's some defensive things. Like, I don't really crush him for the double play ball in the with the ninth or tenth. Like, I thought it was bang play.
When he struck out. Yeah.
I'm talking about in the field. Like, Corbin Carroll was flying down the line.
Yeah.
He's really tough to
Yeah,
to double up.
One of the fastest, if not fastest player in baseball.
And he tried. You know, I know that sounds simplistic.
we've already had the lines. He was tired and he tried, as things that we've said at this spot. So that's good.
He tried. I mean, he went as fast as he could. And I don't know if even the most perfect turn is the one that that gets that done. So, I don't know. I like it from the standpoint of, I think the power will come. I just think he needs to get his swing in rhythm, and he needs to get his swing down, and then the power will come. Rather than like 1-for-5 with a home run does nothing for me. So I want the power to come. I'm of the mindset where I think the power will eventually get there. I just think it's going to take a little bit. And in the meantime, he's hitting like 292 with a 360 OBP.
I know. I don't disagree with what you're saying. It's just frustrating, but I don't disagree. By the way, Rico, shout out to Rico at Rico JA or Rico Ja on Twitter. So he ran the guys over 6'5 with the least home runs per plate appearance with minimum 2,000 plate appearances. And Alec Bohm is third worst in the division era. So pretty wild. So shout out to him. Thank you. All right, two more things and then the take bag. One is, and you could just, the first one, I don't think there's too much to say about Aaron Nola, but, you know, another really great outing and two straight really nice outings from Nola. He was good again on Friday.
Yes.
So the Nola thing. And then, you know, another two things that we were incredibly concerned about. One, I think Nola we were less concerned about, but the bullpen, you know, I'm not, you know, there or anything, but a good weekend, you know, and really a good week, I would say.
If you take out Carlos Hernandez
today, of course, today with Alvarado and Hernandez. Yeah.
If you take out Carlos Hernandez, I believe that they've allowed like one earned run in their last 22 plus innings pitched.
Yeah, it's good.
So he might just be done. And again, thank God that you never put your name on Carlos Hernandez. Would never do that. But hold on. What was the first thing you brought up besides
Nola.
Carlos Hernandez? Nola. First off,
I did not bring up Carlos Hernandez, by the way. You did. No, go ahead.
He was always going to go on this run in the middle of the summer or where he stabilizes and turns closer into the Aaron Nola that we've seen. I think the biggest thing is that he was down again. I didn't notice as much. Like, I thought the last start, I noticed a lot the cutter to the right-handed hitters of the Cubs. Didn't notice that as much. Now, maybe that was because, maybe more lefties in the lineup. I don't know. But regardless, fastball velocity was right back up where you wanted it to be, more 92, 93. And, you know, just overall, he kept everything down. And when he expanded, he went out of the zone up, and then he kept the curveball down. I don't think he's been too over-reliant on the curveball, which is huge. So, Nola was fine. You never want to get too high, never want to get too low with Aaron Nola, mm-hmm. because he can make you look foolish in the next outing. but I think you're seeing more good than bad from Knowles as the weather is warming up. And there's an interesting
and two good teams, you know, the Cubs and the Diamondbacks.
Sure. Yeah. But I think there's an interesting comment from Caleb Cotham to our good pal Ty Daubert. And it was good to see Ty, first off, read a real story. Not some dumb story that had no purpose for anyone that was reading.
There you go.
But
there you go.
But so
character, right? Yeah, it's good.
So Cotham was saying that it's almost by design that he is 89 in the first month of the season because it's how he, you know, preserves his longevity.
Tell us that before the season, not after.
We'd love to hear it. So yeah, Knowles is shoving, man. Knowles is shoving, and I just hope he keeps it going. And maybe we just have to get used to him being virtually unpitchable in April.
Bullpen
again. Like, the bullpen's been mostly fine. Like, Carlos Hernandez, obviously not it. Jose Alvarado was fine. I agree
until this today. Yeah, I just like agree. Just because he didn't have it as much. Like, I get it. Where it's like, the who else are you gonna trust? It's like, I get that as a general thing, and I generally am like, yeah, you gotta trust your guys, but also you do have to like trust your eyes at times and say, like, even though he's my guy, like, he just absolutely doesn't have it today. And thus, like, taking a shot on someone who's not as good, but maybe they have it today. Like, we know pitchers can have it on days and not have it on others. And like, maybe you get a day where Carlos Hernandez doesn't suck. Very unlikely. But like, I I'm not like destroying Tauber for it, but I didn't love it.
I think if Rangers has given 3 2/3.
Of course.
Probably
of course. Of course.
Rangers, I mean, Kirk Rang,
the culprit for all that.
Kirk Rang had to give it an extra inning, which you don't love. So what's interesting about the bullpen, I think they finally found the spot for Joe Ross. I think they finally found what he's supposed to be. He hasn't allowed a run in his last like 8 innings, which is really important. Strom was always gonna be fine. I actually thought Romano's stuff took a decline today. Mm-mm. Still was able to get through it, which is good, but I thought his stuff kind of did not look fantastic. Now on Friday he had a scoreless inning, which was important, and they're starting to slowly, like, I think they're about to flip him and Kirkring in the trust rankings. And I think what's tough is, like, rightfully so, I think Kirkring right now is down from the standpoint of a confidence perspective. I think confidence wise he's really shaken, and
he's never gone through a stretch like this really in the majors, you know what I mean? Like, ever, you know, he hasn't been in that long, and he's like, yeah, he had that playoff stuff, but that's like a couple outings. Like, he's never really had a prolonged stretch of like really struggling in the majors before.
And like today, I know he didn't allow a run, but it still wasn't crisp at all.
Yeah.
And like, you expect him to be better because he can obviously command the baseball. And I just can, he is so ripe for a cutter. I mean, he is so ripe for a nice little cutter to lefties. So, you know, I think Alvarado's fine. I think Joe Ross is, they found a good spot for him. Romano, I mean, are we at the point where we can say that we expect him to be more good than bad? Like, it's not like you want to go. You want to go, you know, take a walk.
I will say I am trending up on Romano.
Good.
I will not say that, like, Friday night, for example, when he came into a close game in a big spot, I can't say I didn't feel nervous about it, but he's winning back my trust.
What hurts is that they need one more. Like, they just need, they need
at least
one more.
Honestly, ideally two more. But like, yes, I agree with you. They need, what they need is a lockdown guy. Like, they need if they're only going to get
that's
one.
That's not allowed.
If, yeah. Point being that, like, if they're going to get one more, like, I think they need two more. If we're talking about getting two more guys of a similar ilk to what they have, or if you're going to get one more, he's your best reliever. Like, he's better than Alvarado, more trustworthy than Alvarado. Like, they need a guy who can come in and we can, you know, feel like, okay, it's done. Like, this guy's got it, like, no matter what, you know, and like, as much as I love Alvarado, he's as close to that as we have. He still isn't that, you know?
Well, at least Mason Miller has an ERA of 5. So how's that make you feel? Maybe Ryan Helsley.
I just want people to understand how much it would cost to get Mason Miller. Everyone's like, oh, just trade for Mason Miller. It's like, okay, so you're giving up Aiden Miller? Like, are you? Because I don't want to do that. And like, that's the type of price it would cost to get Mason Miller. Like, I would just trade Justin Crawford for him. Like, you're not getting him for just Justin Crawford. Like, are you crazy?
Well, and by the way, the A's have the same record as the Phillies, if not a game below.
That's the other thing. Exactly. And an easier path to the playoffs and an easier league.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, by the way, big take from Joel Sherman today, where he said that the National League is better than the American League.
Oh, thanks, pal.
Whoa. Yeah,
really. Wow. Welcome aboard.
No way. Really? That's crazy, wow. Man. Thank I had you, no man. Idea. Yeah. No idea.
What are we doing?
Yeah. I would actually trade for Lawrence Butler before I trade for Mason.
Yeah. I love like the A's entire roster. They have so many guys, like even guys whose names I've never even heard of. My buddy was telling me about Gunnar Hoglund. It's like,
oh yeah. Man, he was nasty like, a couple years ago.
That name sounds made up. Love it. in, like, you know.
Now,
Kurtz, our guy Nick Kurtz, local guy. How about that? Yeah.
High hopes listener. High just hopes family.
See, yeah. They got dudes. They got dudes.
Well, you know, and they
Roker. Roker's a stud. I mean, Langoliers is an interesting guy. Friggin' Jacob Wilson, like what a king. Love that guy.
Stinks. Yeah. Stinks. Yeah.
He never walks, but you know what he does? He's always on base.
Now, Jacob Wilson's a draft eval who I was dreading the Phillies would take, but turns out he might be all right.
They're a fun team, is what I'm with you. Anyway, I can't keep talking the A's. Emily's like dying to eat.
Well, the A's are at the end of the month anyway, so it'll be fun.
There you go. It's the Rays, not the A's now. All right, what's in the take bag?
What's in the take bag? How long can I extend this?
Dude, you're hurting Emily, not me. Think about that.
Yep.
She's texting me about putting food in the oven. Can I start it? How long?
Well, how long does she want me to talk about Painter's fastball?
I would guess not long, but do what you got to do.
About Andrew Painter's fastball?
Just do it. If you're going to do it, talk about it. Okay. I wouldn't want you to talk about talking about it.
So I just need to get this out there for the High Hopes listeners so that it is officially on the record. And one that they can refer to when talking about Andrew Painter. So while I think that Andrew Painter is an amazing prospect, and I cannot wait to see him in a Phillies uniform and cannot wait for his debut, I think at the beginning, it might be a little struggle from the standpoint of home run wise. And I think the biggest thing he has to develop in watching his last start, and really just his last couple starts, while the fastball can hit 98, it's a flat fastball. So he's got to do two things. Either one, if you want to stick with the four seam, go to the Zach Wheeler school of how to throw a four seam fastball to where it has much more spin efficiency to it and can be a swing and miss pitch, because right now it's not totally a swing and miss pitch. And then, or go to a sinker. Like, I think that either a sinker or find a way to fix the four-seam efficiency to it. Now, I believe it is not recouped since before Tommy John, and I think that Tommy John, as he's rehabilitating from it, will be fine. But I can see you dying on the inside. But I
just can't wait to tell Emily why dinner was later. Oh, Jack had to talk about spin efficiency. That'll go great.
I have been sitting on this Andrew Painter thing for a weekend.
I'm so happy.
And
how did you make it through? Like, I'm surprised you survived the weekend. Just didn't spontaneously combust having to go.
I didn't
want to
tweet about it.
Keeping this inside.
Well, it's like, oh, let me tweet about it. And people are like, oh, he sucks. Bring him up. He sucks. Whatever. So that's why I have this podcast.
But I don't tweet about anything, Jack. There you go.
Dude, everything I tweet now, I'm just like, hey, this is awesome. Great.
Yeah.
So I think either a sinker or I think either fixing the four seam efficiency would go a long way towards Andrew Painter.
Yeah.
Everything else is great. Is great. So they're clearly pitching Max Kepler up, but the problem is Max Kepler's making them pay. So like when they miss up,
the German.
Bang, right in the middle. Yeah, yeah. Max Kepler. Also, I want to check in on the people who said the Phillies made no upgrades this offseason. Hermano, hot as fire. Max Kepler, on fire.
Dombrowski renaissance, the take renaissance here.
And Jesus Luzardo. Jesus Luzardo is maybe a Cy Young winner. So I was told the Phillies didn't make any upgrades anywhere. Also, Max Kepler played center field today. That's very exciting.
For a hot minute, yes.
Yep. So maybe that could
be. You could say he stood in center field. I don't know if he actually got to play.
He made a play.
You're right.
He made a play. And then final thing is, if I never saw them swing at a first pitch ever again, I totally understand.
I'd be fine with them just taking every first pitch. I really would. Even if teams knew it and they just threw strikes, I'd be like, it's okay. Just do it, guys. It's
cool. I know that sometimes they get a hit. Every time I watch them, it feels like it's a double play.
Yeah, I think the numbers are actually probably pretty good on the first pitch, I think, but I don't care.
I totally understand. Might be the best pitch they get. I get it.
This is one of those classic, like I always say, like, and you've been in a car with me, like I would rather be 5 minutes later somewhere and not sit in traffic, then get there 5 minutes earlier and sit in traffic to get there.
Not my seltzer. Yeah, not my seltzer.
That's me. All right, we good? I'm coming. We're gonna eat soon. She's like, cool.
Nice, nice, nice. Hold on. What can I do? What can I do to extend this out? Overall, I know you're gonna go to. I know you're gonna go to bed and you're gonna be so furious about the loss today. They've won three straight series. They're playing good baseball, and they're about to go to Tampa Bay and take another series on the road. So
I disagree. 2-3. Keep doing
playing
two
good
three,
baseball. Hey, you stack these series wins right now.
Yeah. Well, and also, hey, Jack, before we go, shout out to the Merlite account of the week. Jack's Steaks Tap Room. Today's Merlite account of the week, the bar of the week. Jack's Steak, Jack's JXX Steaks Taps Room in Philadelphia, where you can watch all Phil's games, 3-hour Millite Draft Special. Go to Jack's, that's JXX steaktaproom.com. All right, shout out to Jack's, shout out to Miller Lite, coming out Wednesday at Casey's Drexel, coming out May 31st in Reading. I'm going to not even let Jack talk again so I can go and eat dinner. I'll see you tomorrow, pal. Everyone, we'll talk to you later. It's Roots and Seltzer.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.